getting the feedback now? Yes? All right. Sorry. You just need to get a bit, you know, start waving, jumping, yelling, screaming. All right. Where did I ask you to read? Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2, please. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Tried to spend a lot of time just looking unto Jesus as our captain. Tried to encourage you to stop and seek that the Lord might speak to you. And the Lord speaks to us in these last days by his Son. And through Christ as the mediator, the one between us and God. And we've looked at hearing from God, and you need to approach under Christ to do that, to tend to your relationship with Christ. Some of you have caught up with old friends this week, caught up with people you haven't spent much time with, caught up with people that you've sort of perhaps had a bit of a friendship, and you've been able to tend to that relationship and strengthen it. The last couple of years of coming to camp, I've had the privilege of being able to tend to my relationship with Cam. And it needed some tending to. My picture of Cam up until last year was mostly 13-year-old Cam. He's changed a little. Not just physically, but spiritually. He's changed a little. He's changed a lot. The Lord's done a work in him. Just like the Lord did a work in me. And we've been able to tend to that relationship. And sometimes we complicate the things of God and go, oh, it's this big, difficult. It's just a relationship you need to tend to. Put some time aside and say, I need to tend to the things of God. And to tend to my salvation and my relationship with Christ. Close your Bibles. Hold them up like this. If you're not racing for the verses, you don't need to. But if you're racing for the verses, you start like this morning, making sure no fingers are tucked in, holding it. Turn it over so you're holding it by the binding, please. By the binding. By the binding. All right, you ready? Hebrews 2:9. Oh, you are turning pages still. Sit down. Lacey, Hebrews 2:9. All right. 9 and 10, please. We would see Jesus, but we see Jesus. The problem was presented, the inadequacy of man was presented, our failings, our shortcomings, what we can't do. And Hebrews here says, but we see Jesus, the captain of our salvation. Where we can't, he can. Where we are weak, he is strong, but we see Jesus. My prayer, my hope is that you would see Jesus. That in your weakness, in your sufferings, in your turmoils, in your walk with the Lord, in your failings, in your inadequacies, that we would see Jesus. The captain of our salvation. He who can where we can't. He who does where we don't. That you might look unto him. Do you know who I can't see right now? I can It's kind of partially see Clem, and I can't remember who's sitting over here, but Zoe. I can partially see Zoe, but I can't see any others of you. But you know why? I'm not looking into you. My back is turned. Many of you go, I can't see Jesus, and the reason you can't see Jesus is because you're not looking. Like a little child that comes to mom and says, hey, I can't find this, mom. And mom says, well, have you had a look? Nope. I'll go and have a look. Oh, I found it, mom. We can't see Jesus because you don't want to find him. Like when you're told to find your homework. It's amazing. It's amazing how easy it is to find an Xbox controller, but you can't find your pencil case for homework. It's about what you want to find. But we see Jesus. Bible's up. Up above your heads. Hold by the binder. If you're racing for your verses, you start like this. Hebrews 2:16. Steph, that was quick. You're lucky you didn't have to turn a page because you were still looking. Hebrews 2:16. 17 and 18, please. Yep. Thanks, Steph. Being made like unto his brethren. The Lord has spoken to us by his Son, and we would see Jesus, who was made like unto us. You ever met somebody and you just go, I don't think I could just walk on up to them because they're not like me. They're too different to me. You ever been in a situation where you as a teenager or perhaps back when you're a child and you've got to go talk to this adult that you don't really know very well? And you might talk to a kid easy enough, but now you've got to just rock up and talk to this adult that you don't know very well, and it's intimidating because, well, you know, they're old and scary. Like they're intimidating. Can anyone relate to that a bit? I could when I was a kid. I struggled with that. I still struggle with that. But we can approach unto Christ because he was made like unto us. He was made like unto us, and he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. And him being tempted, he knows what you're going through. He knows what it is to suffer as you've suffered, to be tempted as you're tempted, to deal with the difficulties of life as you deal with the difficulties of life. He knows those struggles. And so you can approach unto him because he was made like unto us. And in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he's able to succor them that are tempted and to comfort and provide for them that are tempted. And so we have here this presentation just briefly that we've run through of Christ. And I want to just share with you some testimonies this morning of a few different people. You may have heard of David Brainard. Who's heard of him? A few of you have heard of him. He passed away at 29 years old. Where's Cam? He's not here. Cam told me he's 29. I hope he doesn't mind me sharing that. And the end of his opportunity to serve God gone at 29. After about a few years of ministry to the Red Indians of North America, David Brainard passed away. A fellow by the name of Henry Martin knew of Brainard's faith and what he'd done, and Henry Martin passed away at 31 years old. He ministered to the people of the East, and as he went to them, he went saying, "Now to burn out like Brainard." He saw how David Brainard had given himself to the work of God, and he said, "My whole goal now is to burn out like he did." I need to find this in this book. It was too big to write down for me to remember. But another brief, blessed life comes before us in the person of Captain Hedley Vickers. He was a hero of the Crimean War. He fell in action in a place called Sebastopol in 1855. I get it, that's a long time ago. He was only 29 years old. He was little known beyond the borders of his beloved friends and his brave regiment. Much of his holy influence would have died with him, but for the splendid service a lady by the name of Miss Marsh, who gave to the world his precious letters under the title Memorials of Captain Hedley Vickers. By means of this ministry, the man whose whole Christian life embraced little more than 3 years has continued to witness with winning power for nearly a century. And one could well say of him, as the Holy Scriptures say of Abel, "He being dead yet speaketh." Just a few years serving God. I want to share with you mostly some testimony a little closer to home. A fellow by the name of Tom Walton. I'm just going to read a few snippets out of this book. And here we have his testimony, and whatever it was that brought Tom Walton to the gospel meeting that he went into. On April 25th, 1941, his eyes were opened to the wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. He saw himself a sinner in the eyes of a holy God, who in love for his sinful soul has sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, to in turn bear his sins in his own body on the tree. Brightly the light of the gospel dawned upon Tom's soul. Sweetly its music and message ministered to his needy heart. In simple sincerity he believed the word of God and by faith received the Son of God, Jesus Christ, as his personal Savior. And when the chaplain challenged the congregation for open confession of Jesus Christ before men, Tom Walton walked out courageously to the front and acknowledged his Lord before many witnesses. He got saved and he stepped up and said, "Christ is my captain." And the reason I share this particular fellow with you is probably going to be understood in this passage of the book. Early in the year 1943, Tom moved to the far north, and after a brief period at a reinforcement depot was posted to a veteran AIF unit. Hearing that his old chaplain of Ingleburn was then on the tablelands, he obtained a few days' leave and travelled 40 miles by road to see his loved friend. He was late at night when he arrived at the chaplain's tent with the words on his lips, "I have come over for a revival, sir." Warmly welcomed by the minister of God, Tom soon found the revival so ardently desired, and on his knees by the side of the chaplain, he shed many tears of gratitude and praise as their prayers circled around the deep divine love of the crucified Christ. Warmed and uplifted, he gave a telling testimony concerning his own vivid and vital experience of redeeming grace. He came up here onto the tablelands, where there was an army tent pitched somewhere, and he got there and got praying with an old Christian friend that had ministered to his heart, and the Lord stirred his soul. Because the stirring of hearts and the stirring of souls is something the Lord does anywhere, at any time he sees fit, whether it be in the 1850s, whether it be in the 1900s, whether it be over in the Middle East, as we read in the Scriptures, whether it be in England, as we read in the history books, or whether it be here in the Tablelands, the Lord reaches down out of heaven and touches the hearts of men and women. I want to read to you a letter that he wrote, just a portion. Dear sir, our Lord Jesus, having at last battered all my defenses to the ground, so that I care little whether he sees fit to grant me my heart's desire for this world, I only desire power to the glory of my blessed, adored Redeemer, to the winning of souls, 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 yes, precious, perishing souls, from the grip of the evil one into the fold of the Good Shepherd. Surely each rejected soul must bleed Jesus' heart, and to think that in me, unworthy vessel as I might appear, is the means of taking them the glad tidings. I want to read you one last portion. As I turn there, there's an account of Tom as he was traveling on a troop train, and a man came under conviction about the reality of God and the need for salvation, because Tom, in the habit of all of those troops standing around him, got on his knees and prayed as he always did at that time of day, and it was his habit. And a bunch of people around him that had no thought of God saw a soldier kneeling in prayer. Not somewhere else, here. One of us. It tells of a time in a gospel service at Tolga, where the gospel was being preached, and he went out the back of the chapel with a friend and got on his knees in a patch of scrub and prayed unto the Lord that the Lord had touched hearts and the Lord had ministered. Many souls came unto glory that day. Here in this last little note, 25th of October 1943, he says, I will be 21. On the 3rd of November. Please pray for me that night, as I will be kneeling in utter surrender and love for my Redeemer. Surely the best way to celebrate such an occasion, renew a full, all-out consecration to Jesus, and there he and I will rejoice together. Best birthday party of my life. He just determined that he was going to do something with God, for God. And he made it plain. When he died on the battlefield in Papua New Guinea, they buried him the day later, and hardened soldiers wept at his grave, and one said, you'd think a mother or sister had passed away, not a soldier. Such was his testimony. Such was his love for the Lord. I don't know when the Lord has spoken to your heart, whether it's this week, whether it's sometime before this week. Maybe you're in the habit of making a stand for Christ. Maybe you've never done it before. Oh, the Lord's done something for you, but you've never made a stand for Him. What's your determination? What are you going to do for the Lord? I want to read you a passage in Romans. We looked at this earlier on in the week, and I'm going to close with this passage. Romans 6. And in verse 9, the Bible says, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore, because you're alive in Christ, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield or submit yourselves, neither give yourselves as neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Yield yourselves as instruments. I lost my spot. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. To yield yourselves as instruments of righteousness unto God. This is an instrument. It's a toy, or I used it as a tool to do what I desired. It was in my hands for me to use as I saw fit. It had no choice in the matter. It was yielded to me because it's an inanimate object and it doesn't get a say. But you're not an inanimate object. You have your will. And it's entirely in your hands what you do with it. So I want to ask you, have you made a stand for Christ? Do you know Him as your Savior? Has God done something for you? Because if He has, then He desires for you to do something for Him. There's something He wants to do with you. If He didn't have anything for you to do, He'd save your soul and take it out of your body and up to heaven. But He hasn't. He saved your soul and left you here to be a witness. And if you don't know Christ, then look unto Him. Tom Walton, when he got saved sitting in that church service, and the preacher didn't say, "Come forward if you want to get saved." The preacher said, "If God's done something for you, then make a stand." And he took a stand and said, "The Lord just saved my soul." Now, not really asking Pastor Buddy or Miss Susan or James if they would stand up here and make a stand for Christ this morning, because they're in the habit of it in their lives. Many of you are in the habit of it in your lives. But if God is prompting you this morning, not your emotions, not anything, we're closing out camp. But if God's prompted you to make a stand, to praise Him before the brethren, your fellow campers, you got something you want to say that God's going, "I want you to say this. I just want to encourage you this morning, give opportunity and go, I'll stop talking so that you can stand up and say, hey, this is what God's done for me. I'm not looking for big, long testimonies. I'm asking if you'd take a stand for Christ." So, we're about to close. We're about to sing our last song. But as we do that, as we finish up, and if you don't mind, we might sing "Lord, Send Me Anywhere." I think it's my favorite one from camp. It's entirely selfish. But as we sing that, if the Lord's sending you to stand on your feet here and take a stand for Christ, particularly if you've never done it, if you've never taken a stand before this world and said, "This is who my captain is," then don't be ashamed of Him. Take a stand and go, "I just want to let you know who the captain of my salvation is." So you just have a thing because we sing. Can we have a pianist by any chance? Or are we doing it without? Oh, phew. Praise the Lord. Mrs. Binstead knows I need a pianist. What number is that? If you... 22. Can we start on the chorus? I don't know the verse well enough to just jump in there. We'll sing the verses. And please, at the end of this song, I'm going to give a couple of minutes and then we're going to close in prayer. You'll have just a minute to stand up if God's telling you to do something. If God's not telling you to do something, that's fine. But if God is telling you to do something, be obedient unto the Lord. And just follow His leading. Lord, send me anywhere. On the chorus. Lord, send me anywhere. Only go with me. Lay any burden on me. Only sustain me. Sever any tie. Save the tie that binds me to thy heart. Lord Jesus, my King, I consecrate my life. Lord, to Thee, O Lord, since Thou hast died to give Thyself for me, no sacrifice could be too great for me to make for Thee. Lord, send me anywhere. Tie that binds me to thy heart. Lord Jesus, my King, I consecrate my life, Lord, to thee. On the second, I only have one life, and that will soon be past. I want my life to count for Christ. What's done for him will last. Lord, send me anywhere. Only go with me. Lay any burden on me. Only sustain me. Sever any tie. Save the tie binds me to thy heart. Lord Jesus, my King, I consecrate my life, Lord, to thee. On the last, I follow thee, my Lord, and glory in thy cross. Gladly leave the world behind and count all gain as loss. Lord, send me anywhere. Only go with me. Lay any burden on me. Only sustain me. Sever any tie. Save the tie that binds me to thy heart. Lord Jesus, my King, I consecrate my life, Lord, to thee. Back in Tom Walton's day, they would phrase it saying, who will come out for Christ? Who will make a stand? So I'm just asking the question before I pray, is there anyone that knows I need to make a stand today? share? Anyone else that knows you need to do something? I'm not gonna wait long. If God's got something you need to say. Praise the Lord that He's talking to hearts. Maybe the Lord's put something else on you to do. Maybe you need to go write a letter about what you're doing on your birthday. Plan a different birthday party. No one else coming out? All right. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's amazing how the Lord can use a rubber ball to speak to our hearts, isn't it? Use what He will. All right, we're about to close. Might ask Brother James if you're happy to close in prayer, bro. You're right to do that. All righty.